another episode of What Does the Science Say? A podcast brought to you by the team behind the environmental monitoring magazine AWE International and sponsored by Polyscience Temperature Control Equipment. We're here to challenge widely held beliefs about the air, water and environment by offering something that's often missing, the science. So every fortnight we'll discuss a current topic, and after we present the evidence, or invite a wonderful guest speaker to present their research on it, we'll come to a verdict, myth or reality.
I'm Kerry Jones, Senior Editor of AWE.
And I'm Anna Martins, Editor of AWE, and this is What Does the Science Say?
Okay, so the notion we'll be unpacking today is that wood burners are a clean and efficient way to heat our homes. And to help us reach a verdict, we'll be speaking with a special guest, Corey Press-Christensen, who is the Senior Advisor on Air Quality and Climate at Green Transition Denmark.
So before we bring them on, let's just lay out some context. Domestic wood burners are in use across Europe, and they are growing in popularity for several reasons. Firstly, they're economical, and with the extreme surges in oil and gas prices in the past 2 years, some people have switched to burning more wood and solid fuels to control unmanageable bills. But buying a modern wood burner is pretty expensive, so rather than saving money, the far bigger reason for sales today is a style choice. The majority of owners are affluent people looking to enjoy that old-fashioned, high-end aesthetic a fire brings to a home. Currently, around 1.5 million domestic wood burners are in use around the UK, and sales grew by 40% just in 2021-22 alone. They're warm, they make us feel cosy, and clearly, we love them.
But alongside this glowing charm, several countries across Europe are seriously concerned about the effects these burners are having on our air quality, as well as on our public health. There have been recent studies held in the UK, as well as in Greece and Denmark, to name just a few, and they're investigating the impact on air quality. While those exact figures of their results do vary, the headlines are all the same. And they're saying that domestic wood burners are directly responsible for the majority of our smoke pollution. So, according to DEFRA in the UK, while wood burners produce very high levels of carbon and nitrogen, they're also the single biggest emitter of a tiny particle called PM2.5 that's present in our air. They're actually responsible for around 38% of that here. But if we scale that up to a regional level, a report by the European Environmental Bureau stated that across Europe, wood smoke makes up around half of the present PM2.5 particles. And that makes it responsible for around 40,000 early deaths. Now, there's a lot of dramatic figures there and a lot of technical points you might not understand. So let's bring in our guest, Corey, to explain what's going on. Well, hi, Cor. Thank you so much for joining us today at What Does the Science Say?
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and we're really interested in your work. Can I ask you just to give us a little brief introduction to yourself and your work?
I'm educated as an engineer and has worked in the area of air pollution now for more than 20 years. I'm still teaching as an external professor at the Technical University of Denmark, but I mainly do international work in Europe, in Asia, in the US, in Greenland, in Africa, traveling around, measuring air pollution, doing different kind of economical and technical analysis to find out how to reduce air pollution and the connected health effects. Where do we get the highest benefits for the lowest costs? What's next step? Trying to create awareness by informing, of course, politicians and the public about air pollution aspects and the huge health effects and the connected climate effects and how we can solve these challenges together.
Thank you. It sounds like quite a large remit you've got there.
Definitely. Way too much traveling with planes creating air pollution, and that's terrible as well. Believe me.
Well, thank you for that. So today we're discussing wood burners and their potential harmful effects to the environment. Now, you were the senior advisor on the European Environmental Bureau report, so we're very keen to get your take. So we want to ask, are domestic wood burners really all that bad for people enjoying them at home and for our communities?
I mean, from a health perspective, wood smoke is terrible. It contains the same compounds as tobacco smoke, causing the same health effects. So there isn't much difference. Smoke is smoke, no matter if it comes from a piece of wood or tobacco. So if we talk airway diseases, cardiovascular diseases, or cancer, it is a huge challenge. But it is different from, for example, tobacco smoking, because you and me decide ourselves if we want to smoke. However, we cannot avoid residential wood burning if we go for a walk or even indoor when we're inside the houses, because outdoor air becomes indoor air. Then if we talk how much does it contribute compared to other pollution sources, we can say that in Denmark, wood burning causes more health effects, more premature death, more morbidity than traffic pollution.
Wow, really?
So it's number one air pollution problem. And there's a huge difference, because here in Denmark, wood burning only covers about 3% of the energy need. And it's only a secondary heat source in 99.9% of all homes. So we could actually, theoretically at least, ban wood burning tomorrow. And the world would continue as it is today. But if we banned all road transport, then the world would look quite different tomorrow. You mentioned the key word. It creates this nice, cozy atmosphere we all love. You know, a romantic dinner, the fireplace behind us. So from an emotional point of view, it's much more tricky. And I guess that's why not much has been done to limit air pollution from residential wood burning. But the nice atmosphere is a feeling. And a feeling is depending on our knowledge as well. If we had been having this interview, let's say 30, 40 years ago, probably two of us would be smoking while we had the interview. People would be smoking inside your office. They would be smoking inside airplanes, restaurants, trains, everywhere, even at universities. And that was seen as something nice you did after dinner. I remember it from my old childhood. That changed today, at least in Denmark. If you invite guests and some of them smoke, they go outside. You don't even need to tell them to do that. We haven't reached that point when we talk residential wood burning yet, but the intense information we did here in Denmark have made the number of wood stoves decreasing rapidly. It increased a little up again due to the energy crisis, the high gas prices, but else it really dropped. Between 2015 and 2019, there was an almost 30% drop in wood burning in Denmark. And our national statistics that does these investigations said that they believed the main cause was the heavy information on pollution from wood burning, meaning that when we get wiser, get aware of the health effects due to air pollution from wood burning, we start changing our behavior, just as we did when we talk pollution from tobacco smoking. So it's a matter of awareness. So what we find is cozy and nice today might be very different 30 years from now. Or I could put it another way. If tobacco smoking and wood stoves were invented today, they would never have a marketing permission.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. What is the difference between the cigarette smoking and, say, an open fire? Because, for example, if somebody smokes, I don't know, 20 to 40 a day, but they may only have a fire once a week. If that was me, I would be saying, well, what's the difference?
We need to understand the proportions here. If we take a new wood stove fulfilling the newest eco-design regulation we have today in the European Union, it is allowed to emit 5 grams of fine particulate matter per kilogram of wood. But the WHO, new air quality guideline is 5 micrograms, not milligrams, but micrograms, meaning that every time you burn just 1 kilogram of wood in a new wood stove, fulfilling the strictest requirements in the European Union, you will pollute 1 million cubic meters of completely clean air to the air quality limit. 1 million cubic meters. That's all air covering 100,000 square meters up to 10 meters of height. That's a giant air volume. So imagine a residential area where there's a fire in every wood stove. You'll constantly have a high emission polluting all the air, hurting other people than yourself, because you will pollute the whole air volume outdoor, and outdoor air enters homes and thereby becomes indoor air quality or indoor air pollution.
Can I just pick up on a point? We did mention that a lot of this research is focused on particulate matter, PM2.5. For anyone listening who is not quite sure what that means, do you mind just very briefly explaining what we're talking about there?
Yeah. When we talk particulate matter, and particulate matter is a key component when we talk air pollution, we divide this particulate matter, or these particles in air, after their sizes, depending on the diameter. And we talk about ultrafine particles, and that's particles with a particle diameter less than 100 nanometers, that's less than 0.1 micrometer. And then we talk about fine particulate matter, and that's particles less with a particle diameter less than 2.5 micrometers. And both these particles, the ultrafine particles and the fine particulate matter, is very harmful to human health. It increases the risk of cancer and cardiovascular diseases and serious airway diseases, and are the main cause of morbidity and mortality connected to air pollution. That's why we're very interested in that. And when we talk wood stoves, they increase air pollution with both ultrafine particles and fine particulate matter, both outdoor, where the air pollution is directly emitted from the chimney, and indoor, since the wood stoves and fireplaces are leaking air pollution directly into the living room, creating very high indoor air pollution levels at times a year where people do not ventilate very often, keeps windows and doors closed because it's cold.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier the World Health Organization's new sort of limitations on particulate matter there. The World Health Organization and the Mayor of London, they've both said that the current evidence suggests that there's no safe limit or safe level of PM2.5. Where do you stand on this? And in your opinion, is there a safe level?
Well, I don't think there's a safe level. I believe that when we talk particle pollution, it's like tobacco smoking. You can't say if you just smoke below 2 cigarettes a day, it's no problem. So the safe limit is zero. However, there are some natural sources for air pollution and for air pollution with fine particulate matter. And there isn't much we can do about those. So we need to accept that there is a little background pollution. However, what we can do something about is the human-made air pollution. And there we need to, get the lowest hanging fruits first. And here I believe that limiting air pollution from residential burning is really a low hanging fruit. And there we have the new two types of solutions. Or actually, there's three. We need to remember that 98% of everybody in Copenhagen have a nice home without a wood stove. They can create a cozy atmosphere without a wood stove. Maybe using hot chocolate or whatever, not causing any particle pollution. But even for people that need a wood stove, need to see the flames. And I will admit, I think it's very nice as well. No doubt about that. They can either have new stoves that are artificial, with artificial smoke. They use ultrasound in water and light to create an illusion that you really feel it's a real stove, but it isn't. That's one solution. Another solution is just a TV screen in the living room where there's even music. So, of course, that will not create the same atmosphere, I know, but might be the best solution.
That's a really good point, because a lot of streaming services have very, very popular replicas of fires with the sound. You don't get that wonderful earthy smell, but of course you do get other options. And they're very popular, actually, so it's quite funny. But for people who don't want to go down the artificial route, new designed and eco-design wood burners and stoves obviously are regulated. So how much responsibility lies with the manufacturer if they are still pumping out these vast, vast quantities of, you know, carbon, nitrogen, particulate matter, all kinds of things?
I mean, from a moral point of view, I think they have a huge responsibility. But of course, from a legal point of view, they only need to fulfill the eco-design requirements. Right. So more or less, that's what they do. Somebody moves a little further, but nobody managed to actually produce a stove with an acceptable level of air pollution. I mean, per gigajoule of fuel, a new eco-design wood stove emits about 750 times as much particulate matter as a new truck, just to comparison. So they are nowhere near. And that's because in a truck engine, the incineration is really optimized. They have a particle filter removing 99% of the particles. In wood burners, you have a much more complex incineration process, creating much more pollution. And there are no air pollution control equipment on a wood stove. And it will make it much more expensive to have a wood stove if it requires air pollution control equipment. So that's not really on the table in the new revision process of the EcoGine directive. I'm in the expert group, so I know. And we need to know, yes, there are some very weak requirements for outdoor air pollution from stoves, but there are no requirements to how much they can pollute the indoor environment in your living room. As a stove producer, you can produce a stove that emits huge quantities of both ultrafine and fine particulate matter in the living room. There are no requirements at all for that. I suggested it, but everybody, all producers, was against. And I think that's terrible, because when you put a product on the market, you have kind of responsibility not to hurt the people using it. So from a moral point of view, I think there's a huge responsibility. From a legal point of view, there's of course no responsibility, no direct at least.
Funnily enough, you know, it's very popular now, at least in homes I've seen, where people put a stick-on fan to make sure that the heat is blown into their home towards them, not going up the chimney. So I imagine that's also going to add to that amount of pollution coming in directly towards you.
That's a problem. And I can just add that with the responsibility, there's a responsibility not to market wood stoves or fireplaces as climate-friendly, environmental-friendly. We complained to the Danish Consumer Ombudsman about much of the advertisement done by stove manufacturers and shops selling stoves. And we had a ruling that said they cannot market wood burning as environmental friendly, as climate friendly, or in any way good for your health, environment, or climate.
So in the UK, what we see is there's often public suspicion, there's often pushback against blanket rules on limits or restrictions, or people that break the rules can get an on-the-spot fine. More and more people are seeing them as a money-making opportunity for the government to just, you know, get a few hundred pounds here and there. What would you say to people who think that it's not really that bad, it is a scam, and it isn't a genuine health issue?
Well, I mean, first we need regulation, and then, of course, we need some sanctions for people not fulfilling the legislation. Like if you drive too fast on the highway, if you smoke in a restaurant where smoking is prohibited, you'll have a fine as well. But a money-making process. Well, I'll bet a good dinner in London. That is very few money the government get in these fines. Very few. So they are mainly there for symbolic reasons. So I don't think that's a valid argument, to be honest.
I suspect you're right there. Well, thank you so much for your time, Cor. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I genuinely feel like I've learned an awful lot as a fan of an open fire, perhaps changed my mind there. That's been great. Thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
What a fab discussion with Corey based on his insight then. What are you leaning towards, Kerry? Are wood burners a clean and efficient way to heat our homes? Fact or fiction? Myth or reality?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to say myth on this one. The evidence from Corey is pretty damning. It's really, really hard to challenge those figures. But, you know, I find this one a little bit of a sad one personally, because as somebody who, you know, my grandparents have a wood burner at home, and I grew up in one of those rickety old houses where there was an open fire in every room. That's just how you heated your home back in the day. Yes, I am quite old. I think changing habits is really difficult when it comes to things that are something that feels personal in your home, feels quite intimate to you. But then once you do look at the reasons behind it, you look at the data, and if anyone still is not convinced, then please do read the European Environmental Bureau report. I think this is going to go in a really similar way to when people pushed back on smoking indoors and thought it was just policy put in place for no good reason, and to a certain extent, seatbelts as well. I think that in years to come, we'll look back on this and be amazed that we sat in front of a big open fire when we didn't actually need to. Clearly, you know, modern stoves, they have strict guidelines. Whether or not you think those guidelines are enough, you know, you may choose to get the best that you can afford. Choose smokeless fuels, dry, very well seasoned woods. I do believe they have to have less than 20% moisture in order to reduce the amount of pollution that's coming out of just your average wood. So you shouldn't really be burning things that you find in your garden, that sort of thing. It has to be properly treated. So there's certainly not a ban, especially in the UK, on things like coals. You can still burn anthracite, charcoal or briquettes and things like that, but just not your average dirty brown coal. Of course, you'll get in an awful lot of trouble if you do that. You'd probably feel the difference very much anyway. But yes, for me, I'll definitely rethink the idea of having a wood burner. How about yourself, Anna?
I mean, definitely. As you say, it brings about that kind of cozy feeling in the home. I think everyone sort of thinks that when they think of a wood burner, but it's not really worth the health implications.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. And thank you so much to Corey for sharing their work and for speaking with us. And thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe or follow the podcast. You can share it with your friends, share it with colleagues or anyone who you've had a chat to who has got an opinion on the issue. If you'd like more in-depth coverage of any of the topics we discussed, do head to aweinternational.com.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This episode of What Does the Science Say is brought to you by Polyscience and their award-winning line of temperature control equipment. For over 60 years, Polyscience has been helping the world innovate, create, and reach their full potential in labs across the world. Chillers, water baths, circulating baths, and more. Quality, reliability, durability, and being environmentally conscious are the core values behind every Polyscience product. Find out more at polyscience.com.